Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the opportunity you've given us once again to get back into your word. Help us now as we study, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study from A to Z in the word future, if you will, turn back to Matthew chapter 25. We started in on this last time about how he's preaching the what was known as the Olivet Discourse, talking and preaching about the last days, about the tribulation time and the judgments and even the millennial period. But here let's get into chapter 25 and we see how he continues to teach us. It reads, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their lamp in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. An example that he's given them, or a parable here, things that they could understand in their lives and their day in and day out events, is something that he did quite often, was teaching us from what we could see is all around us and our experiences that we go through, how we can get a spiritual lesson out of it. And here he's telling us and them that it's important that you be ready. That you be ready because we don't know when the end is coming. The end of our lives, the end of this age, the end of all of existence. We don't know. So we need to be ready all the time. And in order to be ready all the time, you have to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. And in that is a reference to the oil there. Is having the filling that you need, is to be filled with that oil, filled with the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost, and then you are ready when the bridegroom arises. All right, let's continue here in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Note, he says to a far country. Therefore, we know it's a lengthy period of time he's referring to. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Entering into the joy of the Lord is speaking of going into the millennial period, actually, as it continues. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. That would have been taking it, investing, and doing at least something with it, the minimum amount with it. But he didn't even do that. And we can look at this as being our life itself. This 1 talent is the life itself. He did not give his life over to be used to the benefit of the kingdom or to be used for the service of the Lord. He didn't do that. The others took what they were blessed with, their life and all their substance, and used that to be multiplied to benefit the Lord, to benefit the kingdom. But let's see how this unfolds for this last one that didn't do anything. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Judgment Day, accountability. So what can we learn from this? That we need to take everything that the Lord has given us and multiply it. And in doing so, he gives us even more. Multiplies things even more for us when we use what he has given us in the right manner. And the timeline reference here of entering into the joy of the Lord is when he looks at people's lives in this dispensational time period. What have you done with what I have given you? And then that will determine your position in the millennial period. If you've been a good steward, if you've been a good servant, you will, as he says here, be ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The joy of thy Lord has been identified as the millennial period. So we can take what we have built up in rewards and blessings, roll those over into the millennial period, and they determine what position of responsibility that we're going to have in the millennial period. And then we've got 1,000 years to rule and reign with Jesus Christ, to even multiply that much more and roll that over into the eternal state. So much ahead of us. It's awesome. And that is quite the future to be looking forward to. If we totally submit ourselves over to the Lord, tell him that we're a hunk of clay in his hands, let him mold us in whatever he would have us to be, and take everything that he blesses us with, even the life itself, and use it to bring honor and glory to him, and multiply it over and over in that doing, and look forward to the many blessings that will come from that. All right, let's continue here in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Now, the timeline here is speaking of the establishment of the millennial kingdom, the millennial period, the joy of the Lord that he just mentioned. Let's continue. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. This is the judgment time that he's speaking of at the end of the tribulation time, the beginning of the millennial period, and he's separating the believers from the non-believers. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now this kingdom is the reference over there, the joy of the Lord. And speaking of from the foundation of the world, let's talk about this planet itself. From this planet. That's because it's going to be restored after the end of the tribulation time. It's going to be so destroyed that it would not be a pleasant place to be at all. So he restores this world back to its beauty, back before the fall, back before the flood, and sets up his kingdom as it continues. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Now he gets into some examples of the good servants, the good stewards, those that have taken what they've been given and sharing it with others. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Note where he says, unto my brethren. So he's speaking specifically here of helping out the born-again Christians that have become part of the family, the adopted family of God, his brethren, his brothers and sisters, and all of us that have trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior are brethren. We are brothers and sisters of Christ. We are instructed to help each other, lift each other up, motivate each other, bless each other in the ways that the Lord allows us to be a part of it, and take that, multiply it over and over in such a way. And we will be judged on that and rewarded accordingly. But note what happens to the ungodly in verse 41. Then shall ye say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a-hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an-hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Life eternal. That's what we that are born again have to look forward to as our future. Everything that we have done with everything he has given us will be looked at, and we will be rewarded accordingly and given different levels of responsibility when we enter into the millennial period. And then at the end of the millennial period, rolling over into the eternal state, so much ahead of us in our future. It is so awesome. All right, now if you will turn to Matthew chapter 26, and we see here another prophecy of the coming of his crucifixion in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Them at advance notice of the coming crucifixion, and it was fulfilled. Prophesied and fulfilled. Telling us about the future and seeing it fulfilled. And that's awesome that we have that, and we have that recorded there. And over we see where he told them that he was going to be crucified, he was going to be crucified, he was going to raise again the third day. But they just seemed to be so thick-headed, you might say, But we can't be too hard on them, because they had not yet received the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost to open them up and give them that enlightenment, to give them the enlightenment that they need to understand when they hear the Lord speak. So we can't be too hard on them. All right, now let's look at after his crucifixion, because we know through his crucifixion, he fulfilled countless prophecies, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, and all the way through the Old Testament prophecies. They're looking toward the future at that time to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and he fulfilled that. He had to lay down some of his power, some of his majesty, to take on flesh, to be crucified. But afterwards, after he rose from that grave, after the 3 days, he receives all that power back, as he proclaims here in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. It reads, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." With them and with us, always, all the way through, completely, and right there with us, and strengthening us, guiding us, protecting us, seeing us through that. And he has all power and all authority, so we merely need to yield to him completely and totally, and then hang on for the ride, go on and do the work that he has allowed us to be a part of, so we can take those blessings he's given us and multiply them over and over, giving us a better and better position as we go into the millennial period to rule and reign with him for that 1,000 years, and then taking all that and rolling it over into the eternal state. Oh, so much ahead of us in our future. It is wondrous, that is for sure. All right, now we're going to back up a little bit of time here in the timeline of the Gospels, because we're going to go into Mark, starting back over at the beginning of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, as we're journeying through the Bible here, seeing the various references to things that would be in the future. And this was a fulfillment of those prophecies that we just mentioned about the coming of Jesus Christ, and about him bringing the good news, or the gospel, and presenting that at the beginning of his earthly ministry, as we see recorded here in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 1, verse 15, how he proclaims the fulfillment of the prophecies in his arrival for spreading the gospel, as he says, and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled." The fulfillment is all those prophecies, as I said, from the Old Testament that were looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ. Even all those 613 statutes, ordinances, and commandments of the Old Testament that were done to keep it in their mind of what was coming in the future, which was the arrival of Jesus Christ to be our Savior and the coming of the kingdom, the family of believers. Because the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom is the kingdom of believers, the group, the family of believers that he's speaking of here. Because we have the family of believers, and then you got the millennial kingdom that we just read about over there in Matthew chapter 25. And then we have the kingdom of the dwelling place of God. And then in the future, we have all these kingdoms coming together, the believers and God living amongst us, looking into the eternal kingdom. So much ahead of us. It is so awesome. All right, now, if you will, turn on over to Mark in chapter 9. And here, once again, as recorded in Mark, we see that he had told them about the coming of his crucifixion in Mark chapter 9 and verse 31, which reads, "For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him." As we had just spoke, we can't be too hard on them, because they were not yet indwelt with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. So they see this fulfilled. But another example of how he told them in Mark chapter 10, in verse 33 and 34, where it reads, saying, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again." Praise the Lord, he did. And we look forward to so much as Mark gets into the prophecies that we were reading over in Matthew chapter 24 and 25 as the Olivet Discourse that we see recorded over in Mark chapter 13. All right, let's get right on into this here. We'll go through this rather quickly since we've already covered this over in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. But as recorded over here in Mark chapter 13, reads, "And as they went out of the temple, one of the disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And of course, this was fulfilled 70 AD when the Romans come in and ransacked the place and burnt the temple. They found that, they burned a bunch of gold and it melted the gold. And as it dripped down in between the rocks and so forth, they said they got to get the gold. So they go in there and they tear the rocks apart and tore the temple completely down to the Temple Mount, trying to get to that gold that was melted when they burnt the temple. That's why it was completely torn down. You go over there today and you see the golden dome and the mosque, the Muslim mosque sitting on that site. And we know that will be taken down. We know that will be completely removed and a new temple built, a temple of God instead of a temple of Satan, which it is right now. And that will be the temple where the Antichrist will try to establish himself as God and sit in that throne at the midpoint of tribulation, but he will be wiped out at the end of tribulation by the words of the Lord. And then the Lord will sit on that seat for 1,000 years, ruling and reigning, that millennial kingdom that we spoke about earlier, that joy of the Lord. So much that has been given to us, so much revealed to us, and over we see how the things were fulfilled in the detail that they were given as. And we can take confidence in knowing the things that we have to look forward to in the future will be fulfilled as well. The things that he has promised us and taught us about. But let's continue here as he continues to teach them about the last days. In verse 3, where it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? And Jesus answering them began to say, Take heed lest any man deceive you." And that's a caution that we all need to take into consideration. There is a lot of false teaching, a lot of false prophets out there, misleading people. And it's on the increase the closer we get to the fulfillment of these things. And we can trust in the Word of God and the teaching from the Holy Ghost. So stand on those, not on just some guy's opinion. As it continues, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be yet." We see this fulfilled. We see this right now in the wars and the rumors of wars. They've been on the increase. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows." Definitely seeing that on the increase around the world. "But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them." So This we see on the increase around the world and in this country, how they are turning against the Christians more and more. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Now, this is a very specific time that this publishing amongst all nations will actually be accomplished during the tribulation time. As it continues, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. But whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye, for it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall be betrayed the brother to death, and the father the sons, the children, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That's awesome that we have so many things to look forward to as Christians. And it's awesome that he's going to be right there with us through all of it. Even these challenges, even these persecutions and so forth is something to rejoice about. Because in doing so, we can stand and proclaim Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior no matter what's going on. So let's all do that and look forward to that wondrous future that he tells us about. To live with him and rule and reign with him for that 1,000 years and then rolling all that over into the eternal state. So much ahead of us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the many things you give us each and every day. We thank you oh so much for it. Help us all to realize that and help all of us to apply those things, to multiply those things for the benefit of the kingdom. Thank you once again as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.